Brittany Lehman with Business Rockstars, and I'm here with Nick Cannon.
Hey, how are
Nick, you? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brittany.
So I just want to read off a list, okay, that you have done. Okay. Artist, label and TV executive, producer, creator, TV personality, host, comedian, actor, entrepreneur, philanthropist, activist, and student.
Yes.
So what don't you do?
Origami. What do you call an origami? Is it an origamist?
I don't know. That's a good, I'll have to look that one up.
I suck at folding paper.
Okay, good to know. You have one little flaw. That's nice. And you just released some new singles off of your album, Model Music. Tell me about that.
You know what? It's a fun compilation. And like even when you list off like the title of all the things that I've done or that I take part in, I get that school of thinking from people like Quincy Jones, who probably has like can trump my list by far on how many things he's done in his career. But the thing is, he's one of those people, he's a true curator. And as a producer and a composer, he knows how to bring great artists together. And that's kind of what I did on Model Music. Established artists from everyone from, you know, Quavo, from the Migos, to Yo Gotti, Jeremiah, all the way to like all of these new artists that I've signed to my label, like a guy by the name of It's a Movie, Natalie Nicole, a guy by the name of Jeff. That's just his whole name.
Just Jeff.
Yeah, just Jeff. But it's kind of cool that we are able to put all of these people together on one project and then put it out this summer.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be cool.
And you said you also wanted to empower women with this music.
Yeah, one song specifically. I mean, obviously the entire project is titled Model Music, and I was inspired by like Fashion Week and supermodels and their travels from New York to Milan to, you know, Paris, London, Miami. And I was like, I want to create a soundtrack for that energy, for that vibe. But specifically, there's a song called Motivation that kind of is a twist on like all of the party music and the vibey music, but because it has a true message. And that idea of like, it's just to inspire and uplift everyone from like my 6-year-old daughter to my 98-year-old great grandmother.
That's so great. Yeah. And you're also a mentor to other artists, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've had the opportunity, you know, over my career to inspire a lot of up and coming artists that then turn into superstars. And that's from the world of music to comedy to acting. I mean, it's really cool to see a generation of entertainers that I, you know, I helped cultivate, but, you know, they were talented and powerful and destined for stardom, you know, before I was even involved. But I it's kind of cool to be able to, you know, shed the light on artists from Kehlani to Kevin Hart, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and these are people that I've cared about and been in my circles, you know, for many years.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you're shooting season 12 of Wild and Out this summer, and you'll be opening Wild and Out restaurants later this year in select cities.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, this is a brand that I created, you know, in 2004. I mean, like I said, you know, I remember being backstage at a comedy club with Kevin Hart and Cat Williams and, you know, all these people who no one had really heard of before and had this idea of like, yo, we should kind of film the fun improv type of energy that we do when we just hanging out. And, you know, over a decade later, we're like 200 episodes in of television and, you know, we're understanding and exploring all of these new verticals from, you know, live touring to, like you said, restaurants. What I'm really excited about to be able to franchise the Wild 'N Out brand into the sports bar arena. And I'm not a restaurateur, but I'm
going to say, yeah. Now you have to add that to your list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm interested to get into the business, and it's just really cool to see something that, like, the brand of Wild 'N Out, how it's spanned over generations and it's lasted this long, that it's really a household name. And I'm hoping that that brand will go on to even surpass, you know, me, because, like, when you think of, you know, all the great restaurants and stuff, they kind of go on for years and years and years.
And you actually funded the first season, right, of Wild 'N Out?
People didn't understand Wild 'N Out initially when I was like, yo, I want to do a hip-hop improv comedy show. And they're like, what? Like, that doesn't even make sense. So yeah. I had to put my money where my mouth was. And, you know, I gathered some cameras, rented out a comedy club, got my friends together, put my own money up and shot the pilot. And then I was able to present it and show it to, you know, MTV. And by my pilot, they got it. They understood it. But also that gave me the opportunity to have the upper hand in the negotiations and be able to receive the lion's share of the brand and still have ownership in it today.
So would you say that you really had to kind of get people behind your vision to believe in you?
I definitely had to get people behind my vision. I mean, I feel like I'm one of those people. Like, I wave the underdog flag in a big way. I'm never the first bet in my career. I've never been the one that people are like, oh, just let's go get Nick Cannon to do this. It's always like, Nick Cannon, that's an interesting idea. And then I get to surprise them. And I think that's the beauty of an underdog. They never see you coming. So I love that energy. I never want to be in a space where I'm comfortable, where everyone's listening to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want to dare to be different. I want that opportunity to people be like, I don't get this. Where are you going with this?
Right.
And then I get the opportunity to prove to them like, hey, I told you it was going to work.
Yeah.
So that's really the narration of my entire career. You know, whether it's film, television, music, comedy, it's always like, really? Oh, wow, that worked.
You know? Yeah.
And I love it. Like I said, I wear the underdog flag in a proud way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you decide you wanted to get into restaurants and start that whole endeavor?
I believe it was more about the branding. I mean, in my vision for the Wild and Out brand is beyond even just restaurants. But I think that space and having a lot of investors and partners who are familiar and experts even in this world, they saw the potential in, like, you know, there's not a space for the young urbanite to be able to go, like, that caters directly to the same audience that we see on television that love this brand, that grew up with this brand, to be able to give them that same sports bar type of experience. So, but even from there, like I said, like, that's, the restaurants are great, but I also see, like, my goal is to have a Wild and Out school in that same way, like Second City or Groundlings. So there's institutions that can teach improv, but then at the same time, educate and create an incubation system of young entertainers to come. And so, you know, that'll be my next endeavor after the restaurants, the comedy clubs,
yeah,
then the schools.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
When did you consider yourself an entrepreneur, would you say?
I was birthed as an entrepreneur, honestly. I mean, I came up under a lot of people in my family and my community, from my father, who is entrepreneur at heart in the world of ministry, who had to kind of start his own ministry and public access television shows. He was one of those guys that you would see late at night or early Sunday morning with the television shows on your local cable channels. And I watched him hustle from every aspect. And he put me in play at a young age. I was running the cameras. I was doing the lighting, running the audio boards.
Wow.
In my father's television production. I was out, you know, as he was Blockbuster preaching, you know what I mean?
Right.
Helping him maneuver and opening up for him. And, you know, so that energy is where it started. But also understanding, like, once I saw early on that religion was a business, but two, I saw the hustle that my dad had in order to put food on the table, mm-hmm, and to, you know, walk in what he believed in. And I think that then birthed in me. And, you know, like I said, I was the same guy. I was selling my artwork and lemonade and all,
yeah,
of that stuff at like 6-7 years old. And then my first endeavor and real business endeavor was probably around age 14 or 15, where,
wow,
I had some local investors help me out to fund my music projects and build a studio. And, you know, I started selling music independently. And from there, you know, from $1,000, $2,000 to create $20,000 to create $100,000 and so on and so forth. So that was probably where it really, really started to. I was like, oh, I can make money with my art.
Right.
And, you know, really creating something out of nothing.
Now you can be a role model to your children.
Hey, I hope so. I just want my children to have drive. I mean,
yeah,
they're brilliant. They are definitely of the abstract way of thinking like their parents.
Yeah.
But it's that thing is like, you got to instill drive, because the millennials, the post-millennials, Generation Z can sometimes, because they have access to so much mm-hmm. that it feels like, oh, it's just coming to them, that I don't know if they have the same drive as the generations previous to them.
It's true.
Yeah. So that's the thing I encourage. And you know, things like sports or even, you know, just any extracurricular activities that you could give to your kids, that is something that I feel like they'll get outside of their normal education. It's like, yo, work towards something, work hard at something. And that's even why I often say I really don't want my children to be entertainers, because I feel like that's easy for them.
Okay, well, Nick, don't go away. We will be right back. I'm Brittany Lehman with Business Rockstars. I'm here with Nick Cannon.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive Little Blue Pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
I'm Brittany Lehman with Business Rockstars, and I am joined by Nick Cannon. Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, do you feel like the transition from the entertainment world to the business world was hard for you, or did it kind of all mesh together?
To me, it's all the same. I'm blessed enough to wake up each and every morning, and my job is to be creative, mm-hmm. to think outside the box, and so whether it's a song, a script, or a new business opportunity, I'm using the same part of my brain. And it's just really figuring out, you know, how to bring it all together. And at the end of the day, as we all know, it's, you know, to generate, you know, income. So it's all in one. You know what I mean? That's why I created the title Entrepreneur.
Right.
Just because I felt like, you know, that's my makeup. You know what I mean? I'm half entrepreneur, half entertainer. And to be able to, you know, thrive through my artistry is my goal in life.
And do you have that trademarked?
I do believe I do have Entrepreneur trademark.
Okay, good. Very good. And you're also the founder of Incredible Entertainment.
Yes.
Tell me about that, and tell me about your really cool headphones.
Incredible is a multimedia company and also a consumer electronics company. I mean, I started probably at least 2009, and, you know, since 2010 to date, you know, we've sold over $100 million in headphones.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been really cool to be able to watch the wave kind of come and go. Like, every entertainer had headphones for a minute, you know, kind of following that giant Beats by Dre, you know, trend. But, you know, Incredible has stood the test of time and is still one of the top selling headphone brands in the country.
And people could find that at Radio Shack also, right?
Radio Shack, your local mobile stores, the airports, anywhere you can get electronics, Incredible headphones will be there.
And speaking of Radio Shack, you are the chief creative officer of Radio Shack?
Yeah. That was a job that was given to me through, because they saw the successful business of the headphones. And
right.
They're like, yo, we want that same type of energy. So I gave them some ideas. I mean, we all grew up on Radio Shack.
Right.
And I had an affinity for the brand. So I was like, hey, yeah, here's some stuff that I feel like you guys could thrive off of. You know, if they listen or not, that's up to them.
Right.
Again, that's my job, to kind of be creative and say, these are some really cool opportunities and, you know, entry points to this generation. And, you know, they take heed.
And why did you decide to go back to school? Because someone might think, he's accomplished so much. Yeah. He has so much going on. I mean, how do you even do that?
You know what I learned? I mean, through my short life, that knowledge is real wealth. And to constantly feed your mind is what keeps you alive. Mm-hmm. And I got to a place because I did a lot of things quickly in life and took a lot of shortcuts in that idea of like, I was the youngest person to do this, youngest person to do that.
Right.
But as I, you know, matured, I was like, yo, I skipped a few things.
Right.
And college was one of them, you know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of people go to college to understand what they want to do in life, then right. to find their career and then to make money. I knew all of that stuff, you know, in grade school.
Yeah.
So I was kind of set on that path. But the other thing that I didn't understand that college did, it gave you an understanding of how to learn. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think oftentimes we are concerned of what we know or, you know, what to think opposed to how to think.
Right.
And we don't exercise that muscle anymore. Mm-hmm. And to be able to continue, you know, at my age today to worry about midterms and,
right.
and research papers. And it's like I read, you know, a couple books a week. But to be able to read and to study and have to turn in, a transcript about what you read or your experience, it's like those things, they keep you on your toes, and
right.
I love it, and it's just a new challenge. I feel like that's definitely the next stage of my life, and it's not just to, you know, again, it's a great example for my children, and I
yeah.
get the opportunity to say, hey, I have this degree in my hand.
Right, of course.
But ultimately, I think my goal is to be able to also teach.
Wow.
And to be a professor and to be able to, you know, take all of the things that I've accumulated. And that's the thing. I hate being the person that speaks on something and it isn't fully educated on it.
Right.
So I was like, I want to know everything as much as I possibly can on certain subject matters before I put it out there and give my opinion on it.
Right.
So if I got a couple of letters by my name and
which is smart,
and some weight, then I'll be able to be like, well, studies show.
Right.
I did my research for the last 5 years and this is the case.
Yes.
I want to be able to speak from that level and that's what we're doing.
Totally.
Yeah.
You have so much success. Has there ever been a time where you failed and you didn't know, like, oh my gosh, what is the next step I'm going to take in over to get over this hurdle?
I don't believe in failure because, you know, every time you fall, you learn a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to the falls. I look forward because then, you know, you get to get back up and you say, wow, I know not to do it that way.
Right.
You know, and there's no losses, only lessons.
Right.
And to be able to understand that that's what success is made of.
Mm-hmm.
The true journey of success is to be able to discuss the journey.
Could you give 3 pieces of advice to someone starting, growing, or funding a business?
Oh, only 3?
More if you give your top 5. Challenge accepted.
Yeah, I kind of go in an order.
Say
the first thing you got to be is a self-motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many naysayers and people don't understand the power of the voice, the power of the tongue, the power of speaking things into existence. You have to speak against all negativity and create it, you know. And by doing that, I always tell people, get in the mirror. Just say what you are.
Right.
Give yourself a title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And start to speak that. Motivate yourself. Set goals. And then once you have that and you have the belief and you have the faith in what you're doing, then the next step is probably the most important step is being a self-generator. You have to have a corresponding action to all of the goals that you set. So, you know, after you wrote it down and, you know, spoke it into the mirror and all that stuff, now you have to generate. You can't sit there and wait for someone else. And that's why, I love the word generator because when you think about what a generator actually is, it mm-hmm. creates power.
Right.
You know, it doesn't sit around and wait to be plugged into something. It is the
yeah.
source. And there's so many opportunities, whether if it's in the media, we have the DIY community to where you can shoot it yourself. You can make
right.
millions of dollars off of your phone. You can create an app. You can do all this. So to generate it on your own and not wait on anyone else because people people are attracted to success. Mm-hmm. People are attracted to the train that's moving. You know what I mean? If you're stagnant, nobody's going to want to ride.
Right.
But if you're moving, they're going to try to catch on with you. So once you've spoken everything into existence and you motivated yourself, then you created the self-generation. And then the third thing would be to now you have to engage and you have to share that message. You have to spread it. And that's the trickiest part. And I wouldn't even tap into it marketing because I often say self-marketing.
Right.
But it's more about engagement beyond self.
Totally.
You know, like once you have it, if it's your product, mm-hmm. if it's your passion, your art, it's sharing it and selling it to others. And you have to do it in such a unique fashion that no one sees it coming mm-hmm. and no one else is doing it your way.
Right.
If you can do those two things, success is out of here.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
No
problem.
This
was such a fun conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm Brittany Lehman with Business Rockstars, and we were joined by Nick Cannon.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 07.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and joining me today is Brian Liu, the chairman and co-founder of LegalZoom. Brian Liu, it's great to have you on the show today, brother. We're going to get started with the 60-second CEO, where I'm going to rapid-fire some questions at you.
Okay.
Just say the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Who's your favorite entrepreneur?
Myself.
No, that's fine. Let's leave it at that. Favorite book?
Art of War.
Favorite movie?
Sound of Music.
How do you unplug?
Surf.
If you could have an extra hour in the day, how would you use it?
Sleep.
Do you prefer text or call?
Call.
If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go?
Antarctica.
If you could have a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Laser eye vision.
So who's your favorite superhero?
Batman.
Interesting. What is the weirdest thing you've ever done?
Ooh. Run across a freeway naked.
What keeps you up at night, Brian?
My dogs.
Your dogs. Okay. Well, how do you relax?
Surf.
And if you had one word to describe yourself, this is our last question, how would you describe yourself?
Entrepreneur.
One word to describe yourself, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it doesn't really give me much to go off of with that one there. So let's talk about the craziest thing you've had to experience as an entrepreneur.
Ooh, the craziest thing. Okay. I am not able to go to the state of Alabama.
What?
This is not a crazy thing.
What happened? Thing. What did you do? Is that where you ran across the street naked?
No. As part of, you know, I think there's always challenges, always strange things that happen.
Yeah.
And somehow I was sued in the state of Alabama. You know, it's hard to create something without breaking some eggshells. And evidently LegalZoom pissed off some people in the state of Alabama. So I was sued by the state. Wow. And my only defense is that I have never set foot in the state.
Well, hey, I got no hate on Alabama, but if you're going to get kicked out of any state, it should be Alabama.
You know, the only thing is I really wanted to go at one point.
For
to
what?
See, I would love to see a Crimson Tide game.
Okay.
I really would. I'd love to go to Talladega. I'm serious. I would love to go see a race there.
Let's shift gears. Let's get on track for some business stuff here. Culture. How important is it? And what are some things that you're doing in your business to create an amazing culture at LegalZoom?
it's about giving people meaning so that they know when they're working there that it's not just about, you know, earning a salary, exactly, that they're doing something to help others, that they're doing something that's important, not just for themselves, but for, you know, just the community, and they feel good about their job.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the values that you guys align and integrate into your company culture? Because I think a lot of people don't talk about that. They don't talk about value alignment. So when they're hiring people, they're making sure that everybody coming into the organization is in alignment with the values of the company culture.
Right. Well, I think the first thing you do is when you hire people, you look for people that share those values. Mm-hmm. And that important value is the value of caring. You've got to care about people. You've got to care about, you know, the people that you're working with. And so if we always say, look, if you care, you're going to succeed at LegalZoom. And that's the most important thing.
What are some other values that you guys have? I love that one, caring. I don't think a lot of people put that in there. I think it's about, you know, growth.
Yeah. Well,
that's caring, that's a great way to put it, though.
Because we see ourselves as a service company.
Yeah. You know, even and if you're in service, you have to care.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the great things is I read this book from the guy who started the Four Seasons Hotels. And I've always wondered, you know, what makes some hotels better than others? And when you read the reviews on TripAdvisor and everything, they always talk about the service. It's not about, very rarely people say, oh, this hotel was great because the room was spectacular, it was great. No, it's about how great and the check-in service was, about room service or whatever. It's that human touch. And so that's what we look for. People, and what they say is you hire people who already have that inside of them. You can train them on the skills.
Yeah.
No, but you can't train somebody how to be empathetic and how to care.
That's true. So on that note, how does an organization create what we'll call in this case, gold star customer service? What are the keys and the traits for that?
I think, well, again,
hiring people obviously that already have those traits, but how do you create the environment that reconditions that on a consistent basis so there is a consistent gold star?
Absolutely. It's a little bit of everything, you know, and you've seen this, and you have to have a work environment that reinforces that, you know, the images that you use, and you do it in a way that's authentic, because I think a lot of people do this in a way that feels very much like corporate speak. Well, they have the, you know, these motivational things and, you know, like all around, or maybe they'll have, these are our principles, and they'll put it on every desk, and it just feels very corporate speak. And you got to do it in a way that really shows that that's who you are and that you care. So authenticity, even in a corporate environment, is, you know, incredibly important.
I definitely agree and align with that completely. In all of our organizations, we try to implement something similar to that. Let's talk about something that I think a lot of companies struggle with. As a consultant, when I go into most businesses, the fastest way amongst a list of things that I do to grow the organization is really pinpoint in what makes them different in the industry. So how do you guys differentiate yourself and what makes you unique at LegalZoom?
I think what makes us unique is that when we started, we were one of the first to really think, how can we use technology? How can we make this system a lot more efficient? Because most lawyers, traditionally, because of the way the structure is done, where you're paid hourly, you have no incentive to really become more efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, always lawyers are saying, hey, we're here to help the clients, and we're really trying to give the best service. But what happens is, in your own head, people rationalize, like, giving the best service means spending the most time, which means charging more money. And, you know, and then they justify it by saying, but that's okay, because I'm really, you know, doing everything I can to make sure everything is 1,000% perfect. And we're like, wait a second. If really what we're trying to do is just, you know, get the result, help people as best they can, It's the system, it's the structure that is wrong in terms of, let's align all the incentives so that everybody is incentivized and aligned to really do something and create something for the customer, a better customer experience, so that we can achieve that goal.
I love that. And do you feel like you guys have accomplished that at LegalZoom?
I think we have. We're still a long ways to go in terms of, you know, but we've definitely made strides.
Let's talk about guarantees and what I'll call risk reversal in just a second. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me is Brian Liu, the chairman and co-founder of LegalZoom. Everybody knows what LegalZoom is, so I don't even need to give a background on it. I'm using LegalZoom. You're the founder of it. I think everybody at some point has heard of it or is probably using it in their business. But guarantees and risk reversal, how important is it? And what are you guys doing in your business to mitigate the risk on your customers and clients when they choose to invest in you guys?
Well, I think it is really important to have, you know, guarantees in general. And it's tough because when we started, for example, the most often cited reason why people wouldn't consider LegalZoom is that they didn't know who we are, and they didn't know that, you know, are these documents really going to work? Can I go online and get this type of legal stuff without, you know,
sitting down with a lawyer face to face?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So
I felt that as well when I was first investing in LegalZoom.
Exactly.
I was like, is this legit? I'm just going back and forth on email and phone calls.
Right.
I got to give them all my important information.
Right. So one of the things we recognized, Brian Lee and I, and Eddie Hartman, one of our co-founders, when we started, we needed some sort of symbol of legitimacy. And Robert Shapiro, I think, offered that type of legitimacy.
So for people who don't know who he is, what is he? What does he do? Who is he?
I hope maybe you saw him on the TV show. He's a really famous attorney. He's a criminal defense attorney, but he does a lot more right now. And he represents, you know, celebrities and other just normal people as well. But he's a very well-known attorney and famous for being the OJ attorney. So pretty much everybody knew him.
So you guys were able to land him. Mm-hmm. And he obviously helped you guys get the competitive advantage. Going back to the original question of how do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace, what are some practical tips that people can benefit from? Because I think that was one that you guys capitalized on, was attaching your brand
Absolutely.
To a credible individual who had a personal brand and a reputation,
yeah.
which allowed you guys to be credible by association. And so a credible by association is one way that you can get
right.
a unique differentiation
right.
in the marketplace. But do you have some other things people can do?
I always think that whatever you do, you need, you know, there's two things. One, you need some sort of unfair advantage. If you can find an unfair advantage somewhere.
I love that, the unfair advantage.
Yeah, absolutely, take it. You know, there's no reason in saying, there's nothing about, you know, great about being the guy to break through a brick wall. If you can get around it somehow, do it.
Yeah, I love that.
The second thing is, even if you don't have something that's incredibly unfair, just have a clear idea of what you are and have something that's memorable in the marketplace so that you stand out in some way in the marketplace. So whatever it is, I mean, here's my favorite example of this. Okay, there's no unfair advantage to this one. I don't know if you know, like we're in Los Angeles here, which is the most famous plumber in Los Angeles.
Who's the most famous plumber?
I hear these ads all the time and it sticks in me.
Okay.
The Smell Good Plumber.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing. I've never even heard of it.
And they run ads all the time. And I mean, I think they must be successful.
So that's the differentiator. They
well,
smell
because
good.
They have taken a position in the consumer's mind space so that when they're not just any plumber, they're, you know, I think it's called Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber. And they got this little ringtone. Do you mean?
They got you. They're stuck in your head.
And absolutely, absolutely, because it does so much. I mean, what's unfair? Well, it's like, well, everybody else smells bad. Mm. And they're
presuming it through their name.
Right. Exactly. And so they've occupied this space, which I think is really incredible. They've done something descriptive. They've set themselves apart in a way, you know, that's so different from the competition. Yet,
yeah.
you know, it's just kind of a little bit of marketing and just thinking, how can I be different from the competition?
So let's talk about that for a second. Somebody out there who maybe hasn't capitalized on the distribution channels of another potential affiliate or joint venture, mm-hmm. the credible by association. There's so many other things that you can benefit from having joint venture partners, host
yeah,
beneficiaries, and affiliates. What are some practical tips that people can do to establish and create great partnerships in their business? It sounds like you guys were able to do that with that gentleman who's a famous attorney.
Right.
But what are some practical ways that somebody can create amazing partnerships?
I'm going to go one step a little further here. When we started LegalZoom, we had some partnerships, but they weren't as significant for us as something else we did, which is we found out what's the newest way to market, what's the hottest thing to do that nobody else is using. And at that time, it was pay-per-click advertising through Google. Actually, Google wasn't even around. It was a predecessor. Before Google was even around, there was a company called Overture. Performance marketing. Nobody else was doing that. And there are so many different ways to market these days, so many different social platforms.
Yeah.
If you can take advantage and learn how to use those platforms before the competition, that is really a big advantage.
Brian Liu, the chairman of LegalZoom, I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother. It's been a blast.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And this is our CEO roundtable. So as always, joining us is two rockstar CEOs. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
My name is Siobhan Moran. My company is Energetic Solutions, and I help CEOs, entrepreneurs, and I call them entrepreneurs almost there, take their idea from a little idea and maybe no money or a little money all the way up to either exit or super profitable. Now, there's one little unique pitch in there, in that I take all of their learnings from their inner growth work. Some say spirituality, and I blend that with business. So what happens is when those two get integrated, the business really, really soars. And we see this with CEOs everywhere now.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for coming on the show.
My name is Natalie Dell, and I'm the CEO and founder of IndieU. We connect independent unsigned musicians to colleges and college students across the nation to help them grow a strong localized fan base.
Wonderful. And we just had a blast interviewing each other. So I told you guys right before the cameras got on, the thing that I wanted to talk about, so hopefully your brain has been primed, is something that you wish you knew when you got started. So if you could go back and have coffee or tea with your younger self on your first year of entrepreneurship, what is one, you could share two if you want, but what is that one big piece of advice you wish you could go back and share with yourself, or that you would go back and share with yourself?
Mine's probably just all the ups and downs that you go through as an entrepreneur. You know, I kind of thought it was going to be easy sailing and I was going to create a company and then in 1 year it was going to be profitable and I was going to be, you know, the next Elon Musk type thing. But it's a lot longer of a process than that. It's you know, failing and then succeeding and then yeses and then nos and then happy and then sad. So I think just that process is a lot to kind of learn and go through. But I also think even if I told myself that, looking back, it's until you go through it, you don't know how to deal with it.
I agree. You know? You definitely, even with that type of advice,
yeah,
reading
like,
out of
okay.
a book or hearing it, you have to experience it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So true. You know, I think for me, it would really, and I've been reflecting on this a lot lately, it would really be take the things I learned as a writer and really dive into the essence of who the customer is and what's in their heart and what do they want to get next. And be a much, much more refined, persuasive with authenticity and heart and integrity writer so somebody can really see themselves in that next step.
That's fantastic advice. Advice I wish I could have in the beginning of right. my early stages. I want to talk about habits and rituals real fast because something that I've noticed a lot interviewing lots of people and just reading a lot and studying successful people, because I'm like always trying to collect what other people's things are that make them successful, make mm-hmm. them happy, make them fulfilled, and give them that edge in life and in business. And I've noticed that it really boils down to people's habits and rituals. So I want to know from your perspective, either something personally or professionally that's helped you either feel better, think more positively, make better connections, make more money, be more productive, overcome procrastination, mm-hmm. be more organized. What is a habit or a ritual that you'd like to share with us that you feel like has given you an edge?
Yeah. For me, it's been, you know, the overarching one is meditation. Mm. And not just meditation like this meditation, but meditation on the solution. Okay. Because what I was doing is I was meditating on the problem. What was going wrong? What was going wrong? And when you focus your attention in one area like that, what occurs mm-hmm. is it just keeps going wrong and then it gets yep. bigger and then it explodes and then you got to restart. So it's really meditation and meditating on the solution. But even under that, it's really like learning true breath, because generally we're like...
Short and shallow breaths. Right.
Yeah. You know, we're like scraping for breath, and really it's just... Yeah. And as mundane as that sounds, that's my go-to.
Yeah. Conscious breaths. I feel like a lot of people just, I mean, it sounds weird, but you're just breathing throughout the day. Yeah. You're not consciously being aware of taking some deep, full breaths. Definitely. And when you take the time to just yeah. even take one or two deep, yeah. full breaths, you actually do notice a yeah. massive difference.
Yeah. I have a few things. I also meditate, yoga, and then I do a lot of working out too. So in the mornings, I make sure I do kickboxing.
Did you do it before you came here?
No, I didn't do it this morning.
Didn't want to drink.
I was supposed to go to yoga this morning, but I was like, I had to get my hair done. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, but I also, this is funny about me. I always have to go to the coffee shop in the morning and then I go to the office. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I can't stay at the office the entire day because being in the same spot kind of messes with me. So I like to be able to go to different places.
So when did you get the coffee shop thing? Because I really just started refining that yeah. ritual into yeah. like, I got to have my tea before I speak.
Oh my God, I need my vanilla latte. Vanilla latte with almond milk right? every morning. I don't know why. No, right when I graduated from college and I came home, I didn't actually have an office space to go to. So I would just go to the coffee shop the entire day, every single day, because there's no way I was working from my house.
Yeah.
And then I also, Trello, it's something I use.
I love
that,
Trello.
Oh my God, I'm addicted. I'm a Trello, like, master. The amount of, like, boards I have is, like, nauseating. But basically, like, every day I have the exact tasks that I need to focus on. And before I go to sleep, I already have the tasks to focus on for the next day to keep me, like, going and focus on, like, what
Trello
to do.
Trello is the best it thing really we
is.
Ever
well, you guys are going to have to share what Trello is in just a second. This is the CEO Roundtable segment. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Just to give you a quick recap of who's joining us, tell us shortly, who are you and what do you do?
Siobhan Moran, Energetic Solutions and Aligning Business and Energetic Principles.
Wonderful.
Natalie Dell, Independent Music Platform, and we connect unsigned musicians to college students.
What are some best practices you guys have? I think we've kind of touched on some of them, but is there something that we haven't talked about yet? Maybe when it comes to hiring people, keeping people aligned on the goals and the vision for the week, the month, the quarter, the year, whatever it may be. What are some best practices that you guys have? Mm. We talked about some of the habits and rituals, but like, you know, for me, it's getting out and focusing on partnerships. For me, that's one of my best practices. I realized that I feel better. I feel less stressed when I literally spend, you know, half of my week managing or creating new partnerships. Mm-hmm. That's one of my best practices.
Yeah, I have a lot, but one of them is to make sure I have all these little hacks because I don't want people to be dependent upon me. I want them to be independent. Mm-hmm. And so we have a group call called the Daily 15. And we talk about what's good in our lives, what's awesome, and how we're going to rock the world, and if we're stuck. So there are four things, and everybody has. We only have 15 minutes as a team to, like, get it all out. Every day, 15. And that really changed everything, because then my head stopped going, well, who am I talking to? Where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? What partnerships am I involved in?
That's great.
Yeah. Guys, I wish we had more time. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.